I am convinced, however, that my mission will be achieved, dear Mr. Lennon. And on the strength of this conviction, seek your alarms that I may write to your uncle to request, with all due formality, his permission to ask for your hand in marriage. Do not pray for me. I ask instead that daily, hourly, as an exercise of will, you join me in thought until, triumphant, I may return to you. Yours most respectfully, Johann Ulrich Voss.
Voss by Patrick White. Dramatized for radio by Julia Stoneham, with Robert Mingus as Voss and Pamela Rabe as Laura. Episode 2.
Hourly, daily, join you in thought, Johann Ulrich Voss.
Oh, there you are, Lolly. How can you be so busy in this heat?
Sitting in the shade, making a drawing, hardly makes one hot, Belle.
But you've already sketched this garden from every conceivable angle and in every possible season.
Then what would you have me do this morning?
You could write letters, as I shall.
To whom?
To Mr. Voss. Or perhaps you have decided not to reply to him.
How very inquisitive you are.
And how secretive you have become. More rumble?
Presently, Carly, presently.
You want I should sit on your knee, boss?
Not now. Be off with you. So what? What do you make of children? Not so fancy as your friend Simon's place, eh? Mud when there's rain, dust when there's not. See up there above your head. The stars be visible through my roof.
It is what I would expect, Mr. Boyle, of a property on the surface limits of settled land.
Maybe I should go with you on this journey of yours, sharing whatever will come of it. Better perhaps than biding here and slowly rotting in these mean acres, with only my black pleasures for a comfort, eh?
Soon now, you'll depart from here.
I shall miss the company.
But first I must complete the report and dispatch it to my sponsors. When that is done, I shall not inconvenience you about a day or so longer.
That is reasonable, very reasonable. And Thorndyke should be here by then.
Thorndyke?
A traveling fellow, sir, who does odd jobs. He's out the mayor.
Mayor, you say? And you expect him soon?
Aye.
Then I shall stay until he comes.
Dear Mr. Voss, I thank you for your letter, which was delivered several days ago from the Newcastle packet. If the length of time needed for this to reach you suggests any unwillingness on my part to reply, you must take into account not only the great distance involved, but that I have been compelled, by the substance of what you have written, to give it the greatest possible consideration. That anyone possessed of your contempt for human frailty should make such an unequivocal proposition to a person so well endowed with that same frailty did astonish me. But having formed a similar estimate of myself, I could hardly reject your judgment, a judgment all the more painful since it was made by a mind which I hold in some esteem. My lamentable frailty must excuse my arrogance, a quality which I feel caused us to recognize one another. The question is, how can two such flawed beings endure to face each other? Have you foreseen the outcome? Or have you confused a critical monster for a compliant mouse? However, I would be prepared to wrestle with our mutual hatefulness, for I do respect some streak of humanity that will appear in you, despite your efforts to the contrary. Only if it may be understood that we pray together for our mutual salvation shall you convey your intentions to my uncle. That is, Mr. Voss, if you do still intend. I must leave off writing now, so that my letter may be dispatched to you with that of my uncle. Ever yours sincere, Laura Trevelyan.
Somebody's riding in.
Go on, Dyke. Would that be yourself out there in the darkness?
Oi, Mr. Boyle!
Listen, you're sent for, man. Have you mail for us? Letters for Mr. Voss, eh?
Laura. Laura Trevelyan. I carry your letter, read and reread, in my inner pocket, against my side. We ride in single file. I, naturally, lead. Then comes the measurer, then Polferman, then Angus. Turner and Harry follow with the beasts. We make slow but steady progress each day. So the sheep cannot keep up the pace and are suffering. We have two black natives with us now. Old Dugald, who accepted for me a silver button. And the boy, Jackie, to whom I give my small pocket knife. Tokens between us, since money is meaningless to these people. Each night we pitch our tents and build a fire on which to cook damper and sometimes meat. There's water in the river whose bed we follow. Muddy and topped with scum, but adequate. The land grows harsher, drier, rougher. The sun beats down upon us like a gong. The horses stumble now and are growing thin. The mules are lame. The paws of the two dogs bleed.
Boss.
What is it, Dugald?
I got away, Gilder, now.
What? Send back.
His black fella too old. His black fella sick. I won't go back, Gilder. He's no good place. Old fella die.
I shall not let you die, Dugald.
You let Mr. Voss die?
How? Let myself die.
You no stop when ready. You will think you let all die, maybe.
Nonsense, man. But you shall go back. Tomorrow morning you shall go. Tonight I will write paper. You go take Mr. Boyle. Understand?
You will understand, boss.
My dear Laura, I will postpone this letter. For such a precious secret will be stolen only too soon. But must send it tomorrow. Back to Gilder, to Mr. Boyle. Together with information for your uncle on the progress of my expedition. Your letter has given great happiness. And inspired a degree of that humility you so much admire and in me have wished for. That we should love each other, Laura, appears inevitable and fitting. Now, you ride beside me across these wide plains and sit with me on dark nights. I reach out to touch your cheek and we converse, expressing notions in simple words. But I take too much for granted, my dearest wife. In such far-reaching splendor, I have, you see, forgotten certain formalities. If I have not described to you each tree or bird, each mountain range or river valley, each sun or moon or bright star, it is because such details are for those who cannot see beyond words. For you, there is our other journey. One which you are now condemned to share, to its most glorious or bitterest consequences. conclusion. I send good wishes. And since distance has united us thus closely, venture also to include my love. This, Laura, is a true marriage. Your Johann Ulrich Voss.
Well, goodbye, Jurgles.
Aye. Good luck to you, old fella.
Do you understand me, Dougal?
Yes, boss. Carry package like this, boss.
And give it into Mr. Boyle's hands.
Mr. Boyle, yes.
Good. Now, go.
Yes, boss. Dougal, go. Dougal, go. Dougal, now. Dougal, go.
Bye, Dougal. Thank you. Bye, Dougal. Have a good journey.
He'll not go to children.
Surely he will. He has letters to deliver there.
And a reward promised. What use is a black fellow for rewards?
He'll wander in search of food and water. Reckon he'll meet other tribesmen who'll be curious about the package he bears.
I agree, Angus. No prize off the wax seals. Paste them.
Paste them?
Aye, and spit them out. Let the pages fly in the wind. Watch them blow.
By the time he reaches Gilder, if he reaches Gilder, he will have forgotten them.
We should tell Vok.
Do you think he'd listen?
So, Boyle will not receive them?
No, nor Mr. Sanderson.
Nor our sponsors in Sydney.
They'll never reach Sydney.
Oh, Dennis, where are you?
In the breakfast room, Laura, dear. What is it?
Rose's labor has begun.
Oh,
I put her to bed in the guest room.
The guest room?
No space in the attic for the midwife to attend to her.
Midwife?
I sent John in the barouche to fetch one.
Oh, I can see this is to be a most trying day. Oh, there you are, husband.
Calm yourself, my dear.
What a time we are having. From the moment you left the house this morning, it's been all boiling of water and fetching of midwives who, it appears, expect luncheon and afternoon tea. And all the while, this noise. And Laura has spent the entire day watching the labor, white as a sheet, wringing her hands.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wait. Listen.
Hey, dear. You are better now, I dare say, Mrs. Portion. Your trouble with the little daughter, dear. No doubt you'll be calling a blessing by morning. Let me put her in your arms.
No. No, you take her, Miss Laura. You hold her for me. Promise me.
I promise. Give her to me.
Promise me.
Miss Rose, I promise.
Oh, my goodness, Mr. Bellion. Look at you. Anyone would have thought it was you who's had to endure all these hours of labor. I wonder if I might have some light refreshment now. A nice mutton chop, perhaps. Or baked custard pudding. Or an extra assignment just to provoke the appetite.
Edmund, please stop reading your news and attend to me. I'm most concerned. Since the confinement, Laura has devoted herself exclusively to little Mercy.
Mercy?
Well, it's the name that Rose Portion has chosen for the child and which Laura uses upon 100 occasions every day.
It was agreed, was it not, that the baby must be cared for here until such time as Rose has recovered and her future can be arranged.
But such devotion! Laura barely leaves the child's side and looks so softly at it that you would think that it's hers, Edmund, and people must not be encouraged to think it is hers.
Indeed, they must not be. It shall be christened as soon as may be arranged. Then it will be perceived by all and sundry that the child belongs to Rose Porter.
An excellent idea, Edmund. How clever you are. Ah, Laura, we were just this minute discussing the christening of little Mercy.
What is it, dear? I tried to wake her. She was lying there so still. She has died, Aunt Emmy.
The child is dead.
No, Uncle, not the child. Rose. She had bled again, it seems.
Oh, dear. Now we shall not have a christening, but a funeral.
There, there. Don't cry. Dear Johann Ulrich Voss, I do not know which of your names pleases me the most. I have thought of you and thought of you, and do truthfully believe that you are always lurking somewhere close to me. I seldom see your face and cannot distinguish your form, yet I know that I have sat with you under certain trees and touched their bark and heard you speak their Latin names. I have felt the huts under which you travel and seen the blue dome of your sky. Join me in thought, you wrote to me, hourly, daily. And I do, my dearest, I do. I am compelled to tell you that my uncle's servant, Rose Portion, has been delivered of a child and died of it. I have taken the little girl and am caring for her as if she were my own. You and she are my greatest joys. Do you understand this, Ulrich? She is my consolation, my token of love. Dearest, what at this distance can I do to ease your sufferings? For I know that by now you must have left behind the easy country and will have embarked upon some heartless desert.
Laura, John will read the first light for the war. If you intend a letter for the expedition, you must give it to me now.
A moment, Uncle. Dearest, I must end my letter now. I thank you for your kindness and your thoughts and await most anxiously the letter which I know you will send me at the first opportunity you have for doing so.
Laura.
Yes, Uncle. Ever your sincere Laura Trevelyan.
Laura Trevelyan. You are here. Here. As I lie in the darkness, wrapped now in my blanket, the nights are growing colder, but beautiful. You are beautiful in this starlight. Christmas has passed. The men wished to celebrate, so we killed a sheep. It was no more than sinews and bones. And Judd made a pudding of flour and raisins which he cooked in the ashes of our fire. The first day of March, 1846. We see the natives in the tails of our eyes. A shadow behind a tree, beside a rock, a silhouette against the setting sun. Always they are there. And the music, the throb of the strange instruments, the sticks that beat and click. We are suffering, all of us, from various deprivations. Turner has boils. I myself have been kicked in the stomach by a mule and was in great pain. Judd, the freedman, put a poultice on my wound. Now Frank has a sickness on his guts.
The sheep are done for, Mr. Voss. They can see no more of it. They're falling dead, sir. Another three to day.
Then kill them, Turner.
Eh? We can turn them loose. They wouldn't last long with you, but give them a sporting chance.
I said kill them. You shall carry the dust what you can. The rest leave.
Leave?
They slow us, Paul Turner. Kill them. And kill the dogs.
Oh, eh? Surely not.
The dogs? No, sir, not Chip.
Oh, no, Tinker, sir.
There's no longer any game for them to catch for us. We have now barely food enough for ourselves.
Chip may have part of my share, sir.
And Tinker mine, Mr. Boss. But Chip is devoted to you, sir. She's your dog.
Oh, I desired her in a position to enjoy the luxury of the sentiment.
Bring them to me, Harry. At once.
Yes, sir.
April is ending in cold rain, which has followed the searing heat of this past 5 months.
There are caves in the cliffs up there. You see?
We must cut off this plump plain.
On the higher ground, Mr. Ross. Even if it means crossing the river.
The Negro is so weakened by the steamer he can barely kick his horse. He cannot survive that torrent.
Then we must hold fast to his horse's tail, sir, and be drawn across, or else remain here and drown.
Very well. Build a raft to convey across the scientific equipment and the provisions.
A raft to capsize, sir. Ask it, yes.
You suggest, Jack, but I give the orders. Jack, do as I bid you. Make a raft. Shelter in some large caves. Here we have built fires and are attempting to dry ourselves, our food, and our equipment. Most of our provisions and many of our surviving livestock were lost in the flood. Portion and specimens were all swept away. He's quite philosophical, having, I imagine, more pressing concerns now. The measure has become so feeble that when he soils himself, I must clean him. His needs are depleting my supply of laudanum. Despite his desperate condition, he clings to his notebook, in which he continued to scribble until this sickness overtook him.
You have been good to me, Voss. I shall repay you. Where is it? My journal. The book with the marble edges.
Like the petals of camellias. It is beside you, Frank. Yeah. You will allow me to read it.
No, no. It is too soon.
Will you repay me, Missus?
I am not ready yet. You do not know how the words must be dragged out of me. My life has been purposeless, Voss. Perhaps the mystery of life is not solved by success, which is an end in itself, but in failure, in perpetual struggle, in becoming...
Rest now. Try to sleep.
See these? These black fella drawings. See this black fella here?
This cave is painted with native devices.
What does it signify, Jackie?
This here snake. Father, my father. Father old black fellas. Lives in the sky. Sometimes get angry.
come down earth.
And these?
Ah, these dead men. They gone away all dead. Then come out. Us fella no see.
Ghosts, you mean, Jackie? The souls of the dead that are invisible to us?
And the souls of the living who are here in spirit, joining me in thought by an exercise of will.
They live hourly by an exercise of will, joining you in thought, dear Johann Ulrich Voss.
Oh, you, Laura Trevelyan. Your riding skirt muddied as a hem. Your stout boots drying by this fire.
The sugar ruined. The flour gone that we could at least have used to paper the walls of this ballykeer. And the compass. It was him who insisted upon that raft.
Why?
You warned him. He wouldn't eat.
He never heeds. At least now there can be no quarrel over the compass. If such a time comes as our ways must part.
So, it will come to that, Mr. John. Will it?
I believe we shall reach a day when we must turn back. And Mr. Voss will not turn, for he will be by then beyond reason.
May he not beyond it now?
Hush. He will hear you. How I long to draw your name in warm ochre on these walls. Your name, Laura Trevelyan.
Missy dear, pretty colored ball that Belle brought you.
Laura dear.
Yes, Aunt.
I wish to speak with you.
They are here then, are they?
Yes, dear. They're good people, Laura.
So you said.
Possessed, it would seem, with everything but the blessing of children. As their daughter, Mercy, would be much advantaged, which she could not be with us, motherless and fatherless.
She is not motherless, Aunt. And she would have been fatherless even had Rose lived. Or would you have prized Mercy from her, too?
Come, they're waiting. We must not be discourteous.
Very well. Come, Mercy. Set.
Laura, this is Mr. and Mrs. Aspervold. May I present my niece, Miss Trevelyan.
Pleased to meet you, Miss.
Miss Trevelyan.
How do you do?
And this is Mercy, who's been in my niece's good care ever since her birth. Laura, let Mrs. Asbold hold the child.
Oh, very well, Aunt.
The Asbolds have a thriving farm near Windsor, Laura, with a large herd of dairy cows.
So you have told me, Aunt Emily.
Pigs too. And fruit, eh?
But no children.
No. We have no children.
That must be a great sadness to me.
Indeed it is, miss.
Oh, don't fret, my little love. She's a pretty child.
She's bright-eyed. Healthy-looking, too.
Oh, look.
Shall you take him, dear?
Oh, a cat. But she would not be ours. Oh, look how she holds out her little arms to Miss Trevelyan. I believe she belongs with you, Miss. I should like to go now, if you please.
Thank you, Mrs. Bonner. Miss Trevelyan, for receiving us.
I will see you out. We may go this way through the gardens. Oh, and I'm so very sorry you've made a tiresome journey only to watch her.
Oh, Mercy, my love. My love. Oh, thank God.
and raise your glasses to my beloved daughter, Belle.
and to town. Ladies and gentlemen, good friends and neighbors, drink, I beg you, to the health and prosperity of the happy couple. To the bride and groom, Belle and Tom.
Kiss me, Lolly. Kiss me well.
Oh, I do, Belle. I do indeed.
That nice Miss Bradley is looking for you. He is charm itself and clearly interested. I do believe that with a little encouragement. Oh, Lord, I do miss you so. But it is good that my father and mother will still have your little Mercy for company.
I shall not remain with them much longer, then.
No? What do you mean to do?
When Mercy's a little older, I shall offer myself as governess to a household where she will be welcomed. Or as a teacher in a boarding school.
But you cannot leave Mama and Papa.
I believe I must in time.
Oh, there. Dance with me.
Presently, Tom, Laura is...
Looking very fine, huh?
Fine, I'm fine. Thank you, Tom. And accept my congratulations, will you?
Thank you.
And be loving to Belle. Always.
Oh, he will be. He has promised.
And you promised me this dance.
And all the dances.
Miss Trevelyan.
Mr. Badgley.
May I...
You care to... To dance, perhaps?
You are most kind, Mr. Badgley, but I fear I cannot. I am, you see, otherwise engaged.
My dear Johann Ulrich, I know only too well that it is impossible for this letter to be delivered to you, and therefore foolish of me to write it. Yet I must write. I have just come from a ball at which I have been so miserable for you. Self-pity is now my greatest sin, one of which I do not remember being guilty in the past. How strong I felt then, and how weak now. Was the brave, upright, reliable character I used to be amiss? Are you amiss, Johann Ulrich Voss? I will believe in you, in myself. I will keep that faith. I will. I must.
The cost in time of this month's delay has been considerable, of course.
They're unavoidable, sir. But now that the season has improved, the floodwaters gone, and the party is much recovered in health, is well rested, we should make progress, shouldn't we not? But then, perhaps...
Perhaps, Mr. Polferman. Perhaps you are one of those amongst us who would consider it prudent to give up our quest. Be honest, man. Are you of Chad's party?
I was not aware, sir, that the child, or indeed anyone...
Oh, yes. Sooner or later, they will wish to turn back. It is simply a question of who and of when.
If they should, sir, I shall not be with them.
No?
No, sir.
I shall ride on a little by myself now, Polferman.
As you wish, Mr. Voss.
The rains have ceased, and the land has flushed green and blossomed with amazing flowers. The natives have again appeared, presumably to feed on this brief harvest, for it cannot, in the increasing heat and drought, survive for long. They move with us, beating sticks. Jackie, our black boy, rides out to converse with them.
What do they say, Jackie? Why do they follow us?
Not follow us, boss. They food here. Grubs and fat lizards. But you'll eat. Not follow.
The measurer makes no longer any interest in his book. When he was sick, I took it from him and read the scribbled pages. Wind will carry lanterns of smoke. Birds drop their secrets into the crevices of rock, and trees will spring up to celebrate the godhead with their blue leaves. Reddit and despised him for its sentiments. I want to feel the last fly crawling on my skin and listen to my conscience in case it should give up a secret. Now that I am nothing, I am everything. The ramblings of a sick man. Yet it distresses me. For I am becoming exhausted. Laura Trevelyan. I dreamed of you again. This time you came to me as I lay alone in my tent. You held my head against your breast, as a mother does to a child.
Sir! Mr. Moore!
Harry!
Sir!
What is it, Harry?
The last two bullets, sir. Gone!
What?
It's them thieving black fellas. I've seen them last evening, creeping in close, getting between us and the ten of beasts.
Let us take the guns to him, sir.
No. Let's back that steer. I'll come with you, Mr. Turner.
Right. We'll fire off a few rounds, sir, to show him who's master here.
No.
That's what we need.
No.
There'll be nothing hot, but first obtaining proof that they have the steers. Poultryman.
Poultryman?
Sir?
You will walk up and speak to sir.
Yes. I will, sir, and hope to acquit myself truly.
Here, Mr. Poultryman, take my gun.
No, John, I shall trust to my faith and go on up.
This is unwise, Mr. Foss. Do not allow it.
Pray for me, John.
I will.
Good luck, friend.
Thank you, friend.
Take care, sir.
Journal entry. Dated the 13th day of September, in the year of our Lord, 1846. He walked up the incline to where the group of natives stood, stopping short of them by some 10 feet. We saw one black man raise his arm with terrible dignity and throw his spear.
Please climb through!
In his side, hanging and quivering. Give me that shotgun!
You've got the bastard!
I made a right mess of him, you have. Good shot, Mr. Jones.
Hold the fire! I forbid any man to shoot at these people.
See.
They are destroying. Bearing to some said dead man. Turner. Harry. Come. We must recover Mr. Poultryman.
He died before we reached him. The black blood already clotting his wounds. Harry and Turner have scraped out a grave in the hard ground. I declined to read the burial service, knowing the words would stick to my tongue. So, Ralph Angus.
For as much as it hath pleased Almighty God of his great mercy to take unto himself the soul of our dear brother here departed,
Mr. Boss?
Jack?
I do not feel, sir, that we are intended to go further.
Give up our mission, Jack. Turn back.
It is the only way, sir.
That is for me to say.
And I say we continue.
I can no longer obey you, Mr. Marsh.
Strong as you are, Judd, you are weakened, even you, by the deprivations we are suffering. And the sad events of this day have further depressed your spirits. I believe it must be so, Judd. For I would prefer not to suspect you of cowardice.
Cowardice? I'm no coward. There's hell before and hell behind, I know that. Yet I must cry for home.
Frail minds falter before great challenges, Judd. Do you think that yours will stand the strain of such a journey? Unaccompanied and leaderless as you will be?
I have faith in my skills, Mr. Boss. And I will lead anyone who'll let me. Turner?
Aye. You may count on me, Mr. Judd.
I shall go with you, Boss.
And Angus?
The deeper we go into this wilderness, the more terrible it becomes. Our provisions are gone, and our livestock. I see no virtue in continuing.
So, you are for Mr. Judd, then?
I am, sir. Mm. And urge you to return with us.
Under Mr. Judd's leadership.
You could do worse.
Harry, are you with me?
I would be, Mr. Judd, if I chose. But then again, Phil, what would I do if I made it back? There'd be nothing for me there, as I can think of. No. I'm with Mr. Voss. I shall go on, sir, with you.
As you please, Harry. And Jackie also shall come with me. Now, we shall sleep. In the morning, we'll divide the remaining food and go our separate ways.
Where are you, Cathy?
Here, ma'am.
Beg pardon? I just stepped outside to see the comet. They do say it be visible now in the western sky, but it's not yet dark enough to see it. Like a great snake, they say it is, curving to a bear.
Straighten your apron, child, and carry this barley water for Miss Laura.
Yes, ma'am.
Ask her whether she could take a little cold fowl this evening.
Is she recovered?
No, she's not. The feeling she may be infectious will not see the child, who's monopolizing the servant's time.
Mother!
What is it, Cathy?
Is Miss Laura worse?
She's gone into a furnace, sir. And complaining still of her head.
Laura?
Laura, my dear. How do you?
I'm sorry if there is such an inconvenience.
Fairly. Life still, dear. Edmund, perhaps you should send for the doctor.
The martingale, my love. You've left it behind the last camping place. It's on the boulder near the ashes of the fire.
What did she say?
She's delirious. Send for the doctor.
You need not fear. I shall not send.
Fair.
I see your dog is licking my hand. Oh, blessed voice.
Poor girl. I fear she has a brain.
I shall ride with you to the end. I shall not fail you.
Do not delay, husband. Send John at once for the doctor.
I shall not
fail. You have no fault. No fault. The horses are walking skeletons now. Confession will make amends.
Yes, I am to blame for that. And as to hope, you must wring it from yourself, Frank. Which is all that is possible for any man.
Sir, look. The black furnaces have come closer. They're all around us, sir. Some of them are faded. And painted. Mr. Foss, what do they mean by it?
This is Jackie.
These black fellas say you come here.
Do they mean to kill me then? They must not, Jackie. I am their friend. See, I extend my hand to you. Take my hand, Jackie. Show them that we are not enemies.
It's no good, boss. Mr. Jellic killed black fellas with fire stick. Now these black fellas say you leave horses and come along us.
Our horses have been cruelly slain, dismembered, and devoured by the natives who have carried us and laid us in their hut.
Mr. Boss.
What is it, Harry?
It's Mr. Mashris. He's dead. He's taken his knife to his throat. Look. Harry's blood has all run out.
Poor Frank. Has turned him into melting wax.
I've not the strength to put him in the ground, sir. I have no water left.
All right, poor Harry. All right.
They've cut off your hair. Now you are naked and burning bright.
I shall save you, Harry. If I make the greatest sacrifice, you will be spared, perhaps. It shall be done. It shall be.
Anthony!
Here. I have given up the child and come to you.
Laura.
I shall lie beside you, with you. I shall soothe your wounds.
I will hold you and take your shaven head between my hands. If I... Laura.
Open your eyes, Mr. Voss. Sir. Look. The black fellow is pointing at the night sky.
And seem afraid of what they see.
It's a great trailing light, sir. Soft as dandelions, it is.
A cool flood of stars.
Shall I open your curtains, Laura, dear? So you may see the comet.
I have seen it.
No, dear. It's not been visible until tonight because of clouds.
Soft as dandelion. A
cruel flood of star.
It is a comet, Harry. In a few days, it will sweep further down the sky. Then it will be gone.
Soft as a dandelion, sir. I am glad that I've seen it. I'm done for, Mr. Boss. I'm done for.
A cool flood.
Cool flood. Look there. The black boy has your knife.
Poor Laura. She's still lost, Edmund.
He's
hanged
your knife!
That gun has much fear, Mr. Boss. It's a great snake, angry at white man. Come burning down from sky. Not one white fella's here. Angry black fella died by it. Jesse must kill. Kill! 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 Now Jesse take a hit to great snake. Hit him. Hit him.
Become peaceful.
She is breathing evenly.
There's perspiration on her forehead.
The fever has broken.
At last. Oh, Laura, dear child.
Thank God.
It's my arm, Mother. We must make our way to the very front row where we shall sit with Aunt Belle while Uncle Tom unveils the statue. And then afterwards, we are to attend the reception.
You don't see me.
My Lord Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, in the absence of Mr. Potter's major sponsor, my late father-in-law, Edmund Bonner, I stand before you to pay tribute to a man who left our town precisely 20 years ago today to begin his exploration of this great continent and, sadly, never to return from that brave attempt. My Lord Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, it is my proud duty to unveil this fine statue. Johann Ulrich Voss.
Mother, Colonel Hebden has someone with him whom you may wish to meet. It is Albert Judd, the sole survivor. See how old and frail he looks.
Miss Trevelyan, I do believe we have failed to bring together the two most important people here today. But this Judd is Miss Trevelyan, who was a friend of your leader.
So, it has come to pass.
Now, there was a fellow who left his mark upon this country.
How, Mr. Judd?
Why, there's black fellows who talk about him to this day. Reckon he's out there still, they do.
But it is 20 years, Mr. Judd.
Aye. But if you suffer long enough in a place, you do not altogether leave it, miss. Your spirit stays, see.
As if he were a god.
He liked to think he was a god when he forgot he was a man. But you were a Christian, as I understand it. I saw him wash the sores and sick men and sit up all night tending to him.
Did you indeed?
There was none of us could believe it when we saw that spear.
Spear, you say?
Thrown by a black filament. In his side it was, hanging there and shaking.
But as we understood it, you were not present when Mr. Voss died.
You made no mention of a spear in your earlier account, ma'am.
Simply that you mutinied and moved off with those who chose to follow you.
It was me. closed his eyes.
I think you are confused.
I shall arrange for you to be conveyed to your lodgings. Come.
I am tired, sir. I am indeed.
You look pale, Mother. Should we leave?
No, Monsieur. I am well.
So, Miss Trevelyan, your saint is canonized.
Yes, Colonel.
On the evidence of a lunatic, Mother.
I am content.
Surely not, Miss Trevelyan. You must want the truth of it.
All truths are party colored, Colonel, except the greatest truth of all. Whether Albert Judd is an impostor or a madman or simply a poor creature who has suffered too much, I am convinced that Mr. Voss had in him a little of Christ. If he was composed of evil along with good, he struggled with that evil.
Shall we go into another room, Mother, where it might be more restful, or perhaps leave? No one will miss us.
No, Mercy, I shall not go. I am here. I will stay.
Ah, Miss Trevelyan, I believe. May I inquire of you about this familiar spirit whose name is upon everyone's lips, who is honored in bronze and garlanded with wreaths, the German fellow who died?
Mr. Voss did not die. He is out there still, I think, and always will be. His legend will be written down eventually by those who have been troubled by it.
But how is that possible if we remain uncertain of the facts?
Laura! Laura, dear!
I believe the air will tell us, sir. Come, Murphy. There is your Aunt Bell waiting to speak with us.
Yes, Mother.
In episode 2 of Voss by Patrick White, dramatized by Julia Stoneham, Voss was played by Robert Mingus and Laura by Pamela Rabe. Mr. and Mrs. Bonner were played by Bob Hornery and Julia Blake. Belle was Tammy McCarthy, Tom Paul English, and Rose Celia de Burgh.